This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Dan Kosmoski is the head coach at St. Olaf College. They're playing a four-game series with McAllister to round out the year in a different version of March Madness. And he joins us now. Kaz, how are you doing on this cold, rainy Minnesota night?
Maxie, I'm doing fine. I just, it's good to be tired. It's good to be in the gym. It's good to be playing and coaching and doing the things that that we've missed. So it's great energy for everybody. Time to teach, time to, even though we only play a few games, it's just time. It's just great for all the young men, you know. So
before we talk about what you've got going on with McAllister, I had Richard Coffey on earlier, and that jogged my memory because you were there as an assistant coach when Clem Haskins came, and there was the problem that they in Wisconsin and all that led to Dutch's dismissal. Yep. But the point was at that time you were looking for players. He came in and the roster was short, and they may be in a similar situation right now with Ben Johnson because of the transfer portal and already two kids are leaving. It looks like, etc. I remember you telling me this once that you called every junior college, every place you could call. Explain what that was like when he got in, because you were just trying to come up with a competitive roster, right?
Yeah, I think, Maxie, we finished off the season with five players, the Iron Five, that before Coach Haskins came in, and Willie Burton and Melvin Newburn and Jim Schikanjanski had committed, and then we're thinking about not decommitting, and here you get a new coach in, So just trying to be competitive, trying to get enough bodies, first of all, for practice. And where do you start? I think if my memory serves me correct, they hired Coach Haskins late in April, so it was after the signing date. Mm-hmm. And then when Coach Haskins came, he had to go and re-recruit Willie and Melvin and Jim. And then, we had to go out and find players for a season to be competitive. So, my first 2 weeks, before even the rest of the staff was hired, I was still there. And I remember, spending many hours in the Bierman building, calling a lot of coaches and, where do you go? We did get a junior college player, Kim Zerker,
there's a name from the past, but he kind of steadied you as a backcourt veteran player, right?
Yeah, and even that year, coach's first year, we went to Indiana. I think it was that year, maybe his second year, but I have to go back and take a look. Memory doesn't hold up too well the older I get. But we were the year that they won the national championship with Keith Smart. Alfred was the guard and Dean Garrett. We went down there, and Kim Zerker hit a big shot, and Timmy Hansen was on that team, and David Holmgren, So we went down there, we're up one, and the shot clock malfunctioned three times. Coach Knight wasn't too happy with that, but for our sake, we had to inbound it every time. So the third time it malfunctioned, we had 7 seconds on the shot clock, and I think the shot clock at that time was 45 seconds. And, of course, you have 7 seconds to inbound the ball, get a shot off. We turned it over, Alfred dribbles the length of the floor, and he actually stepped out of bounds, came back, threw up a shot. Dean Garrett rebounded it and put it in for the win. So that was a memory when I thought of Kim Zerker that with that team and that group. So it was a long journey, but we had a lot of calls, a lot of hard work, and I think when you think of Richard Coffey,
How did you stumble across? What was your lead to him?
You know, it was Dwayne Casey was, I believe, was well, he was, Dwayne was Clemson's assistant at Western,
yeah.
And Dwayne had a contact. Probably have to ask Richard on this in the military. I think his name was Golden. Last name might have been Golden, but that's how that all started. And you know, Richard, I think, was released from the military 4 days before school started at Minnesota, and you know, he was a paratrooper. He was a 22-year-old man, and you know, he was a real core of building a team. You know, especially when you have so many young players.
And he was Big Ten ready with that body, right? At least the physicality part.
Oh yeah, he would. You know, he was not fun to play against as a player. I'm sure they came up on the floor and said, you know, I got to play against this guy for 40 minutes. You know, Richard Maxey was only, I think he's 6'5", and he led the Big Ten in rebounding at least 1 year. Hmm. And but he was, you know, he was a warrior, and you know, he was a big brother to all these young guys coming in, and they saw his work ethic and so on and so forth, and it just transferred to the team.
Now, and I imagine every year when you get to March Madness, you get some of those memories come floating back to you because you guys took that to a run and put it on a run.
Yeah, that was, you know, we, from that team that we're just talking about, you know, Coach Haskins had that team their third year. We had to win the last game at Ohio State, and I still have the ticket stub, not that I needed one to get in, but I picked one up, and we were down, I don't know what we were down, and Willie broke his nose with 10 minutes to go, and,
yep.
And Coach Haskins called timeout, and Willie's got tears coming down his eyes, and you know, we go back in, and we ended up winning. We had to win on the road there to get into the NCAA tournament. We got a draw to Greensburg, North Carolina, and that was just a journey just to get down there because there was a blizzard that prevented us from getting out the time that we got out. Long story short, you know, there we are. We beat Kansas State. Siena upset, I think, Stanford, and we beat Siena in the. And here we are, the third year, going to the Sweet 16 out in the Meadowlands, and guess who we drew out there was Duke.
Yep.
You know, when they had Bobby and Christian and
yep.
So they got us pretty good, but we had some Willie. I think that was, he had his broken nose. His
had the mask. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and a year later, there we are, and you know, we took it all another notch further. That was and that was just. You know, we can back that up 3 years. I think Coach Haskins' first year, I think we lost 16, 17 Big Ten games in a row. I think we won first one or two, but we lost a ton. And, you know, it's a great picture for perseverance and for toughness. And I think if you spoke with Richard or any of the other players that played for him, they would say that.
You know, Dan, and here we are, March Madness, another version of you. You guys practiced this year. You opted out of the MIAC season, and now you're playing a four-game season against McAllister. How did this come together?
You know, all schools are different in the sense of what everybody's done and in regards to the testing and, you know, for their campuses, and it just worked out where, you know, the three schools that opted out of the MIAC season, St. Olaf, Carleton, and McAllister, you know, we didn't participate. And once you get into that bubble, you know, you're testing 3 days a week and so on and so forth. And the end of the season, the schools said, well, you know, for the seniors, especially for the seniors in the league, it's heartbreaking to know that their senior year, they're not going to have a full 25-game season.
Yep.
So each school, I know that was on everybody's mind. And so, you know, we got together with the athletic directors and what we could do in regards to schools that did similar testing and that we did. And so it was arranged that it worked out, and we've been blessed and never thought that, you know, waiting for 18 negative tests to come back would be so critical when you think of March Madness. But it's great that we're able to get some practices, and especially for our senior and McAllister seniors to get a few games in anyway.
What did you know for practices this year? Did you just scrimmage a lot? How did you keep them engaged?
Well,
could you not scrimmage because you were in pods?
Yeah, for me, Maxie personally was to, you know, we didn't grind in practice and kept the practices light. We went probably about an hour and a half, and you know, we had some injuries that we were dealing with. A lot of times we didn't go up and down for 2.5-3 weeks. We didn't play. We didn't have enough even to play 5-on-5. So you do a lot of skill teaching and a lot of things, watching tape, and you know, it's and I'm not speaking for other coaches, but it's been great for us to get some timing things down. And you know, of course, everybody's not in great shape in our team. You know, weren't able to go up and down, and I could probably say that would probably be general for a lot of teams that, you know, for 2 months they were home and they couldn't get to a gym. So, but it's been great, and we'll wait and see. Hopefully, we're going to be playing Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and then we're going to go over to McAllister on Sunday and finish up March Madness, as you said. Yeah.
So, and there's no fans allowed, but it's an official game with the referees and everything, right? So it feels like a game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, again, all the things that you work on, what you can work on, offensively or defensively. I think, you know, the most important thing, Mike, is just for the players to get up and down and have fun. You know, we can for the veteran players, they have an idea what our philosophy is, defense and offense, and I'm sure that's true with McAllister as well. And now we just get to go out and, you know, stay within the philosophy of what we're doing, but they get a chance to play, and that's the best thing.
And so at school, you know, now St. Olaf's had its own bubble in terms of the whole campus. How is that play? So your players are at school, correct? They're in dorms or apartments or whatever it is in the confines of the campus?
Right. You know, when for us, our students tested twice when they came in. We came back in February, and you know, we over 90% of the students just live right on campus, so we tested each student the first 2 weeks or for two times in the first 14 days, and we've been blessed. I think it's 0.4%. Don't quote me on that, please. In regards to that, but over 500, 600 students and faculty are randomly tested every week. So, you know, we've kept the students on campus, and through their diligence and following the guidelines of the Minnesota Department of Health, the CDC, and St. Olaf, we've been blessed to, you know, keep COVID down in regards to numbers. And so it's allowed us to practice. It's allowed us to play 5-on-5, and it's really been a great effort by St. Olaf College.
How have you been able to recruit this year? Can you go to games, or you just watch them on streaming, and how do you go about your business?
You know, it's just you do a lot of your legwork on the front side. I think you know, you watch some on tape, but late in the summer you start narrowing things down to the players that you're going to be looking at, and you know, most campuses you couldn't have. Well, I would say most campuses. Our campus was in a bubble, so you just can't bring. You know, we've had to learn to recruit in a different way. I think. We hate the word. Everybody hates the word Zoom. You included.
Yeah, I know.
You know. But you know, you do the best you can. And you know, Division I schools, I don't believe, got out to see any players last year. They weren't. You know.
No. Yeah, I think they just made that a blanket rule, right? Just shut it down, so they didn't have to worry about, you know, negotiating.
Right. And I don't know what's going to be in store for next year, but having that, and you can get out to see games. They, you know, the Minnesota State High School League and the schools, I think it's different within school districts. You, with respect to everybody you call ahead of time to see what the policy is and you know, see if it's okay that, you know, we are looking at player B, and is it okay to come out and watch that person play? So I think most colleges did the best they could, and the schools were all supportive in that within the guidelines of what were allowed.
Well, Kaz, appreciate it very much, and have fun with your final two games. Thanks for giving us some time tonight.
Always a pleasure, and stay healthy. And, yeah, we've been blessed to be able to do this, and we'll pass our paths across down the road.
You got it, buddy. Dan Kosmoski, St. Olaf taking on McAllister. They played them twice last week, beat them twice last week. But that's almost beside the point. It's just that they're playing games.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.